So I have a story for children of all ages, of course, for us. And I found this great book. It's called We're All in the Same Boat. Huh. So you can guess what the story is. I'm going to show you a picture and then read. It rained and it rained. It rained so much that Noah had to build an ark. At first, the animals were excited about their trip. A few days at sea sounds so thrilling, they said to one another. But the days turned into weeks, and the weeks turned into months, and the animals were getting restless. The ants were antsy, the bees were bored. The camels were complaining. The dogs were demanding. The elephants were enraged. The foxes were frantic. The giraffes were grumpy. The hyenas were hysterical. The iguanas were impatient. The jaguars were jittery. The kangaroos were kicking. The llamas were livid. The moose were mouthing off. The nightingales were nagging. The orangutans were obnoxious. Penguins were pacing. The quails were quick-tempered. The rabbits were rowdy. The snakes were squished. The toads were tense. The umbrella birds were unbalanced. The voles were vexed, and the worms were worried. The oxen were exasperated. The yaks were yelling. The zebras were zoned out. And they all blamed Noah. And Noah took a deep breath. We're all in the same boat. For the first time, there was silence. And then a funny thing began to happen. The ants apologized, and the bees behaved. The camels were cooperative. The dogs were diligent, and the elephants were enthusiastic. The foxes told fables, and the giraffe made gifts. The hyenas were hysterical. The iguanas invited the jaguars to a jam. The kangaroos played kickball while the llamas laughed. The moose were merry and the nightingales were neighborly. The orangutans organized their parties. The penguins held a party where the quails quoted rhymes with the rabbits. The snakes stretched, the toads were tuckered out, the umbrella birds uprighted themselves. The voles volunteered to keep watch with the worms. The oxen were exhausted. The yaks began to yawn. The zebras crawled into their beds to catch their disease. And as Noah tucked his animals in for the night, the ark sailed on with a promise of peace.
Yeah. See how these exiled Israelites were really badly in need of hope. After nearly a generation of captivity, they'd grown weary and wondered if Yahweh had forgotten them forever. And at long last, the prophet Isaiah comes with this word of encouragement the word of promise. God had not abandoned them, and their rescue was at hand. May these words this morning bring us comfort and reassurance in our exile to a dislocated people, uncertain and weary in a strange and foreign land. The prophet speaks.
Comfort, O comfort, my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. I said, what shall I cry? All people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades. But the word of our God will stand forever. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let's pray. God of our rescue, open our eyes, open our minds, and soften our hearts to receive the comfort that you offer us this morning. In an ever-changing world, your word does stand forever. So this morning, may my temporal words and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'm just taking it on faith that you can hear me right now. Can you see me? Can you hear me? I'm not sure. Okay, thank you, Matt. It feels very strange, but we will continue. You know, it's truly amazing when you think about it that we can actually have the technology to gather like this. We connect through wireless technology to actually hear and see one another in real time. It's remarkable. This was unthinkable 20 years ago, right? And yet, as advanced as our technology is and our science, our medicine, the odd thing is that the core of essence of our human condition really does remain the same even throughout all the ages. The signature characteristics, you know, those things that make us human, that compose a life, they repeat over and over again in every single generation. All of human history shares a remarkable similar story. Stories of birth, growth, emotion, aspiration, conflict, and mortality. They're all universal, all of these things. And all great writing, really, is a distillation, if you will, of the human condition. These stories, become archetypes. They're the archetypical stories, and they resonate through time. Within these stories, we can find the essential truths that give us insight into our shared human drama. And they help us to make meaning of our life. And our own scriptures, actually, when you think about scriptures, they can often be best understood as eternal archetype stories that reveal the essential truths, the truths that really do endure. And what's unique about our Bible is that it enables us to see into a deeper reality, a reality that operates through and beyond our temporal condition. It's not just about right here and now, it gives us a portal into the eternal. Over and over again, the biblical narrative tells about a God whose fierce love for humanity just will not stop. And for those who have ears to hear it, our scriptures reflect an enduring truth. It guides our life and points to something greater than ourselves. These words have the power to sustain our hope when we are on the edge of hopelessness. These words can transform anxiety, the anxiety of uncertainty, into a confident assurance. These words are so important in these difficult times. In today's reading, the reading from Isaiah, for instance, the prophet speaks to a bewildered people who wonder if there can be any future beyond this mystery that they suffer in exile. They openly wonder if God has simply forgotten them. Had Yahweh, the God of Abraham, the God of Sarah, God of Isaac and Rebekah, Jacob and Rachel, the God who parted the Red Sea and led them from captivity to liberation, had that God completely abandoned them? Some may have thought that God never even existed at all, and that the whole Hebrew mythology is just a made-up story. At times like these, that's when the prophets always show up to make the same two points. The prophets always come and they say, yes, 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 there is a God, and you're not it. Isaiah reminds the people that your life is not about you. You're like withering grass and fading flowers, he says. It's about an everlasting God, the creator of all the earth, who, unlike humans, does not grow weary and always rescues those who reach out. The prophet tells us that this is the word of God, the God who is even now on the move, and rescue is at hand. But where does that leave us today? You know, we suddenly find ourselves thrust into a world we could not even imagine a month ago. You know, the coronavirus has brought the entire modern world to a sudden screeching halt. And really, this is just the beginning of our modern exile. We really have miles to go. And even if we do return home, when we do return home, we will be a completely different people. So like it or not, we are on the hero's journey. This past week, as we tried to reorient to our reality, many of us wanted to identify the most vulnerable among us. You know, we were at these noon chats. Every day at noon, we have an open Zoom meeting, and everybody would come into the chat room saying, who can we call? What can we do? How do we reach out? Who's really hurting? We were trying to identify the most vulnerable among us so that we might find ways to be helpful. So naturally, the elderly, right, are most at risk. And they are often also the ones who are sequestered in isolation. It's very risky for them. And so we began to reach out, especially to the elders that we knew at Tricon. And I spoke with a number of people that I knew, you know, from Tricon, of course, but also my wider network of people and elders who were alone. And not surprisingly, in conversation with these wise elders, I heard the prophet's voice in them, because they have lived through so many valleys and climbed across so many mountains. And this journey has taught them essential truths. And these truths echo our scriptural archetypes. This is the wisdom and the insight that I heard. One man said, he told me, all my life, I've been surrounded by people who are so kind. No matter what was going on around them, they remained kind. So I always try to be kind, is what he said. And believe me, you know this guy, and he is a kind man, no matter what. And that's a healing balm to us all. There's this other wise woman who said, every tragedy is an invitation to love Christ, to love Christ as Christ loved. It's in the hard times that we refocus from self to others. She said that mutual suffering seems to foster mutual caring. And that's the truth. Another longtime Tricon member reflected for a moment on the joys and the sorrows of her life. And she said, you know, life is hard. I don't know how I survived all these things, but I do know that somehow I came through them, and eventually I found a diamond that was formed by this pressure. But you have to stick around long enough and search it out. Really great things. Then there was one man who is sequestered in his small room in a local assisted living facility. And he said, when I can break free of my self-pity, he said, I'm able to see something beautiful every day. He said, there is joy just waiting to be discovered all around us. It's just that sometimes I'm too self-involved to see it. Incredible wisdom. And speaking with these prophets, I began to understand something profoundly beautiful about our God. God promises rescue, but divine rescue, if you notice in Scripture, always involves the kindness, the sacrifice, and the courage of other human beings. In the case of the Babylonian exile, for instance, liberation came through the Persian conqueror of Babylonia. His name was Cyrus the Great, and he gave the Jews permission to return home. God always uses people to enact the rescue. God always invites us to participate in our own rescue. We don't have to be emperors, right? We only need to listen to the prophets that are all around us, even today. So let's start with what they're telling us. Let's start with being kind. No matter what, be kind. Let's love as Christ taught us to love. Let's love our neighbors by reaching out with handwritten notes of encouragement, with a phone call or a text message, or even a driveway chat at a safe distance. This is going to be a long haul. There's no doubt about it. Our rescue will come. God is even now on the move. I really do believe that. But as we wait on the Lord, our strength will be renewed as we simply show up for each other. That's really all we have to do. It's really simple. Call your mother. Be kind to your spouse. Share your toilet paper. and find something beautiful in every day. Look for some kind of joy that emerges to sustain your hope and restore your strength. In the vapor that represents our life, this vapor of time that is our temporal life, when all of this is stripped away, as we're now feeling, and we're left with one essential truth that endures forever. And that truth really is our only purpose. Love one another. That, my friends, is the word of our God. The word of God that will stand forever. So how will you love this week? I hope you'll stop by Zoom at noon gatherings. You can find the address on our homepage, triconchurch.org, and come visit us at noon and tell us the stories of your loving. Amen.